response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
We're back with the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download it from your app store. You know where that is. Once it's downloaded, you search for WILK News Radio. Click follow. It's that easy. It's free. You get us in pure digital sound. You don't have to worry about the AM, FM signal. And you get us anywhere. And it's got great features. You have a rewind feature. You can actually, when you go in for an appointment or get a cup of coffee or you're getting gas or something, you can pick up where you left off so you don't miss anything, or fast forward it to live so you're up to date on the most recent information. Podcasts, we got you covered there. We are everywhere. Anywhere you get your favorite podcast, just search for The Rob O'Donnell Show, and smart speakers, just ask them to play WILK News Radio, and we are there. It's 5:10, 82 degrees, sun is out, a beautiful Monday. This Monday, July 20th, 2026, I know it's the start of the week, got a whole week ahead of us. By the time we turn around, it'll be a beautiful weekend before us, right? We can get through the week together, and we're going to bring you real talk, real perspective, and real news each and every day from 3 to 6 here on WILK on The Rob O'Donnell Show. Because we got Jake in the control room making sure you get everything in a timely fashion, because without him, it doesn't get to you. So we got a great team here, and that's how we roll. Even the most gruesome criminal sometimes has a conscience. And I think that may have played a role in this next story. A tipster charged with murder after police say anonymous call helped solve 30-year disappearance. More than 30 years after an Alaska man vanished without a trace, an anonymous confession breathed new life into the cold case that ultimately led investigators to the alleged killer. Christopher Pops, 54 years old, of Michigan, was arrested after Alaska state troopers said they traced the confession back to him, accusing him of fatally shooting his former co-worker, Patrick Orville Darth, in 1993 before dumping the body inside a barrel of a remote highway. Darth, 34, disappeared on November of 1993 after he was reported missing to the Fairbanks Police Department. For decades, investigators had few answers. The breakthrough came on January 22nd of 2025, when Alaska state troopers received an anonymous tip from someone claiming to have committed a murder in the Fairbanks area in 1993, according to the agency. The Alaska Bureau of Investigations Cold Case Investigation Unit took over the case, but investigators couldn't immediately search the area because it was buried under snow and daylight was limited. Alaska state troopers spokesperson Austin McDaniel told the media. The investigators returned in May of 2025. They found human remains inside a barrel down a steep embankment near mile 47 of the Steese Highway. The Alaska State Medical Examiner Office later identified the remains as Darth and ruled the death a homicide. As investigators dug deeper, they identified the anonymous tipster as Pops. McDaniel told Alaska Public Media that Pops had made multiple anonymous tips to different Alaska law enforcement agencies, claiming responsibility for Darth's death. Investigators have not said why they believe he began confessing more than three decades after the killing. Authorities said that he and Darth worked together in Fairbanks and that an altercation at an auto shop ended with Pops allegedly shooting Darth. Based on our investigation, we determined there was an altercation at an auto shop which led Pops to shoot Darth. A Fairbanks grand jury indicted Pops on two counts of second-degree murder on June 25th, 2026, and a warrant for his arrest was issued the same day, according to court records. Michigan State Police arrested him near Kalamazoo on July 16th. He remains jailed in Kalamazoo County awaiting extradition to Alaska for murder. As of Friday, Pops did not have an attorney listed in Alaska court records, and no future hearings had been scheduled, according to the Alaska Public Media. There's been no further comment on the information. Here's someone who no doubt got away with this crime and would have continued getting away from this crime. But the fact that he reached out to several different law enforcement agencies, some obviously taking it more serious than others, there was technical and geographical constraints to immediately following up on the investigation. I give the cold case unit all the credit in the world for saying, hey, we just can't get to this region right now because of weather and because of daylight, but let's figure out a time we can and let's follow up on this, because that's how cold cases get broke. You follow up those leads that come in. In my perspective, here's someone whose conscience got the better of him. Time and maturity and the realization of what he did and the mistake he made was wearing on him as he got older and closer to his own end. Couldn't live with the secret anymore. And it happens. It happens quite often, actually. People find remorse. People find their conscience. And it wears on them and eats away at them so much so that sometimes they'd rather go to jail. Sometimes they'd rather meet the consequences. Now think about it. 30 years ago, commits this murder. You're going to spend the rest of your life starting now in jail, because you decided to do the right thing, which I applaud. Very little people actually will go through with it. And that's why it wasn't an open, hey, this is who I am. I killed this person. I could show you where the body is. You know, that's more of a, I'm just tired of keeping this my secret and I want to pay whatever consequences are there. I mean, did they really think with an anonymous tip, okay, well, they're going to find the body, identify it, and maybe give them a proper burial, and that'll help my conscience, but there's no way they'll ever tie this to me. That very well could be the case here, because he could have easily identified exactly who he was, what their connection was, what the altercation was about, and how he killed him. So there's a lot of non-information in this confession. But the fact that he led them to where the body was showed them he wants some sort of closure in his own conscience, in his own mind. Maybe not realizing, or maybe realizing subconsciously that, yeah, you know, I need to pay for my crimes, but I'm not ready to outright just admit to them. This case is still a long way off. Now, the fact that he led them right to where the body was, and they were able to find it so easily when the weather was more acceptable, is pretty good evidence, pretty damning evidence. But the fact that there's a lot of time here, it's going to be hard to put any weapon. It's probably long gone by now. And now if it's not, that's an even more positive case if they could find anything as far as the slug or what he shot him with after all this time. I mean, you'd have to think that it's just bones in a barrel at this point. It's amazing what the forensic anthropologist can do. And I've talked about some of my own cases that I've had where we were in a drought in New York when I was in the Queens Detective Squad, and we had a body, bones, in a suitcase. Was in the suitcase for about 6 years, as per the medical examiner. And when the suitcase broke open in some of the swampy area near JFK Airport, somebody was walking their dog, saw the suitcase, and saw the it broke open and some bones inside. Didn't know if it was animal bones, didn't know what it was, but called the police. We got there, opened it, and see a full body in a fetal position. It was just bones. New York City has a single one forensic anthropologist, a young girl. She was phenomenal. Took her 2.5 hours to get out there, 3 hours to get to us. So we were sitting out there in the swamp area, JFK Airport, in the summer for a while. But when she got there, within 5 minutes, she told us the race, the sex, the approximate age, the fact that they never had children, and how long the bones were there for. That was enough for us to narrow down a time frame to search in missing persons databases when this person supposedly went missing. And I think we had five or six possibles that fit that basic description that we got. Within the third one, it turned out to be the one that we had. The third person we checked. It was the missing person report. Person was killed by their person they were dating at the time. They always suspected that that was the case, but they didn't have a body. And the person ended up was in jail for something else, but not the murder. But those forensic anthropologists, I had a new respect for that after that. She walked up, and mind you, we're there in JFK heat near the airport, smelling jet fuel for 3 hours in the middle of summer. You know, we weren't happy. Wearing suits, no less. In a swamp, a dried up swamp with razor grass all around us. She came out within 5 minutes. That's a 26-year-old female. She's African-American. This is her approximate height. This was her approximate weight. This is how long those bones have been here for. So the time of death is somewhere in a year span of that time. And based on the hip structure, never had children. And again, put those criteria in the database, and it popped out five or six names of possible matches to missing person at that time. Third one, it matched it right up, and that was just bones in a suitcase, nothing more. But from that, it was given to Cold Case because it was already a cold case who pursued the murder charges with the individual that was in jail. But we were able to get those remains to the remaining family so they could properly close that chapter. Because there was no doubt in their mind that they believed she was dead. There was obviously hope, but the fact that they could bring closure now, that's part of the job that I don't miss. That I do miss. That fact, that giving the family closure, that in their worst times, you know, family member was taken from them, murdered. But the fact that they know without a doubt what happened and there's closure says a lot to people's inner peace. And it's tragic nonetheless. They lost a loved one. But that not knowing, that's a toll that takes, that never goes away. It's 5:21 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. We're back with the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. 5:25 on this Monday, July 20th. We start to ease in to the last half hour of the show here. Somebody said, Rob, I'm in the same boat as you. It's our 30th year anniversary in September, and we don't know what we're going to do or where we're going to go. Key West sounds nice, but I'm thinking only a week or so, not a month. A month's a long time. Key West, we went there for our 30th anniversary last year, the end of October. We were there for our Halloween, and it was great. Loved it. First time in Key West, thoroughly enjoyed it. Beaches were outstanding. It's a different type of beach. They're rocky beaches, so coral beaches, so you got to bring water shoes. But the water was outstanding. The palm trees and the state park down there was real nice, the fort. And just Key West, the vibe was just nice. We enjoyed it. Did a lot. He said, took our granddaughter to Venice Beach, Florida, looked for prehistoric shark teeth, found dozens. That's great. I like that. I like when there's a beach down there, Sanibel Island, I believe. You get the megalodon teeth there. And that's something I would like to do. I just want to sit on a beach under a palm tree in the shade with a cold drink. That'll do it. So the halftime show for – Jake, did you watch the soccer game? No soccer game for you. Was it at the same time as the race? Soccer game started at 3. What time did the race? The race was later in the day, right?
Yeah, it was a 7 o'clock race.
Okay. Yeah. So no soccer for you.
No.
All right. Listen, I watched it because, you know, I knew I was going to talk about it. I want to see, like, what's this all about here? Two top teams. Why not? And it was all right. Like I said, it was an hour and a half of watching them run back and forth and a half hour of actual action. But the halftime show, which a lot of people don't like, soccer diehard fans do not like a halftime show, are against it. Even some of the announcers didn't like the halftime show because they think it ruined the vibe of the game itself. Now, I thought the halftime show was good. Listen, Madonna started it off. What is she, 70 now? I don't even know how old she was. You could tell that she was lip-syncing the whole first part of her performance.
Yeah, I think she's in her late 60s.
Yeah, it was pre-recorded. And then halfway through, she walked out on the field with her entourage and finished the song there. And then it went to some other people. BTS, they sounded good. I don't know anything about them. Don't know who they are. Don't know the slightest of what they are. Justin Bieber, anywhere else I thought it would have been okay. I don't know, I think Jake's trying to go to sleep or do something in there.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.
I always think of Ozzy Osbourne when I hear Justin Bieber, but obviously I can't repeat it.
All right, yeah. I just think it changed the vibe. It was a slower song. I think it was a good performance. I think he did real well. I applaud him for going out with just an acoustic guitar and doing it. But I just think it didn't fit in the show. It wasn't bad performance. It didn't fit the flow or the vibe. Shakira, I thought, killed it. I like Shakira. Matter of fact, Shakira is on some of my playlists on my music rotation. My wife likes Shakira. I like Shakira. I think her songs are upbeat. I think she's entertaining. And she put on a good show. It was good. And that added with the PS22 in New York, elementary school choir. Those were the kids singing at the end, the PS22 choir. And I think they did a great job. You put young children like that on the world stage, there's a lot of pressure there. And I think they rose to the occasion. I asked it on social media. I do not understand what the Muppets were doing there. They had Animal playing drums. They had the band from the Muppets, but then they had some and I know the Muppets and Sesame Street are very much aligned, but they had Sesame Street characters there, and they had the Muppets characters there. I don't know. It was something to do with, you know, learning for children, and Sesame Street or the Muppets are known for that attraction. That's what at least people told me. There's a whole thing for it. It just, why they were there, I have no idea. Somebody paid some money to have them there, I'm sure. We're trying to bring awareness to, who knows? But I just think the Muppets, listen, I don't mind that they were there. I just think it was very much out of place. I think BTS, Madonna, I think is past her prime, but it was good. But I don't think it was a live performance. I think it was more of a pre-recorded. But Shakira, I would have liked to have seen more Shakira and some of the others, but I have no issue with the halftime show. The message, I think, was great. The performance was good. I think it sent a good vibe, you know, about peace and love and getting along and stuff like that. I thought it was good. So, you know, the performance transition to stage focus on Muppets, Animal playing the drums. To the White Stripes hit Seven Nation Army. Yeah, I don't get it, but it is what it is. But I thought it was an energetic performance. And again, I thought I would have liked to have seen more Shakira. BTS, even though I don't know who they are. Is that even their name again? BTS, I scrolled down. Yep, BTS. Justin Bieber, I think if he would have played more of an upbeat song, maybe it would have fit better. But like I said, anywhere else, his performance was good. I just don't know if it matched that. So if you didn't see the halftime show, I'm sure it's out there somewhere that you could watch and give me your opinion on it. Like I said, I thought it was entertaining. I thought the message was good. Some things were kind of out of place, but it wasn't bad. It just didn't fit. But other than that, I watched the whole thing, and it was pretty good. The streamers and the colors at the end and the whole world vibe looking down on the stadium. I think the set director for the stadium did real well with the message for the halftime show. And then they went back to the game. And Spain won. The end. It's 5:32 here at WILK. We'll be back. We're back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Handsomely into the last half hour of the show here. 82 degrees, 5:36. So New York is spending more on education than any state in the nation, despite shrinking schools and 12% fewer students than 15 years ago. Empire State enrollment could see another double-digit decrease by 2031 as population growth stagnates and birth rates plummet, which would mean New York is shedding students faster than anywhere in the U.S. except California and New Mexico, according to a report by the budget watchdog group Citizen Budget Commission. The reckoning will force policymakers to consider controversial decisions, closing or merging schools and reducing staff or continuing to prop up facilities with less students. Public school enrollment has declined in every region over the past decade, reflecting broader demographic trends that slower population growth, the CBC said in its value proposition tracker. Analysis. Enrollment declines have been particularly pronounced outside of New York City metropolitan area, creating new challenges for school districts as they balance staffing, facilities, and educational programming with fewer students. Overall, statewide public school enrollment declined by 322,808 students to 2.38 million. The analysis said, a decline of almost 323,000 students. New York City had the smallest decline in the state at 7.1%, thanks to increase in student at charter schools. There are 930,000 students in public school system, a drop of almost 189,000 students from a decade ago, when they had more than 1.1 million students, according to the report. But the city also has 109,000 more students in charter schools, which helped limit the rate of decline compared to school districts in the rest of the state. Still, under-enrolled city public schools remain an issue. More than 800 schools out of the roughly 1,800 in the system have fewer than 400 students, while 241 had fewer than 200 students enrolled, the report found. Politicians have contributed to the problem by holding such schools harmless, maintaining their level of funding despite the district having fewer students, critics said. Failing schools rob children of their future, said the recent report put out by the Success Academy Charter School Network. Under-enrolled schools drain the budget for no return. In other parts of the states, enrollment were in a freefall. The southern tier of New York is down 20% enrollment. The Mohawk Valley is down 19.6%. The Finger Lakes is down 17.1%. Central New York is down 17%. Northern County is down 15.4%. Western New York is down 13.7%. The Capital Region is down 13.1%. And the Hudson Valley is down 13%. Long Island, Nassau, and Suffolk are down 11.8%. Despite the cratering enrollment, New York spends more per student than all other states with mediocre results. The state spent nearly $32,000 per person in 2024, 81% more than the national average. It finished out 17% more than neighboring New Jersey, 21% more than Connecticut, 30% more than Massachusetts, and 11% more than the second biggest spender, Vermont. Despite spending more per student than any other state, New York's reading performance is near the national average, and its math performance is below the national average. Students in New Jersey and Massachusetts perform much better despite those states spending 17% and 23% less per student, respectively. New York ranked 22nd in fourth grade reading and 24th in eighth grade reading on the National Assessment of Educational Progress exams. Considered the gold standard for testing, students in New York ranked 38 in fourth grade math and 27th in eighth grade math. Massachusetts students ranked first in all categories. State law currently allows school districts to merge with each other. With the approval of residents, Governor Kathy Hochul's office noted, the state also provides resources to assist with operating and building aid to school districts who have recently merged. But the governor, seeking re-election to a second full four-year term this fall, treaded lightly on confronting smaller public school systems. She continues to make record investments in our schools because she believes every child in New York deserves the access to quality education, setting them up for a lifelong success. We will continue to work with school districts around the state to ensure that they have resources and they need while maintaining the governor's strong track record for fiscal discipline during her time in office. It's kind of a double negative there, right? Which is more so why the funding should follow the student. Not the building, not the zip code, the student. Because isn't that the key? Isn't that who we're all supposed to be striving to help the most, the student? Spending more, less enrollment. Sounds like buying buildings when you don't really need them. Seems to be a form of government now, isn't it? It's 5:42 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. As we start to wind things down at the end of the show here. Listen, I completely get you not liking the politics of the current president. I completely get it. But do you realize the lengths of derangement you go to try and spike on him just makes yourself look foolish. It makes yourself look foolish to the public, makes yourself look foolish to your children probably and everyone around you. It's just, you know, listen, unless you have that small of an inner circle where you all get together and have hate Trump parties, you're really just making yourself look foolish. It's hilarious. Somebody texted in, you forgot to mention how Donald Trump wouldn't get off the stage and forced his way into the photo with Spain's winning soccer team. How attention hungry is the guy? Well, as per FIFA, he was supposed to be there as the president of the host nation. So who are we going to believe? Somebody who's obviously got issues with not liking Trump, which is fine. But you know, I just pulled up that it was always planned. FIFA said that as the president of the host nation, he was part of the photo op. So again, if that's what you want to focus on, have at it. Now, you can't seriously be not denying that he's starving for attention and weaseled his way into the picture. No doubt the president likes his attention, but I don't think he weaseled his way into anything. But if that's the way you want to take it, that's fine. I mean, it's been addressed by the agency that runs the event that he was supposed to be there. So, I mean, if that's the amount, first of all, I don't have that bandwidth in my head to think about it that deeply. So, I mean, could care less who was on the stage. They could have had Shakira on stage for all I care. Did it really make a difference? Or Justin Bieber, or Madonna. Who cares? I mean, that's what you're going to be angry about? That he was in the picture, being the host nation that spent probably billions of dollars to host the thing with security and everything else? At all the events, even the ones he was not at? So, again, if that's your flex, have at it. But as per FIFA organization as the president of the host nation. He was always scheduled to be on the podium, distribute the medals, and be part of the final photo op with the winning team. So that's that. But it's funny. And listen, I guess that's the world we live in today. But remember, the internet is forever. So when you post silly things, they're going to be silly for the rest of your life. Here's a little brightness to end the day, which I was going to end it on anyway. Spending more time in bright daylight could transform your sleep, according to a new study. I thoroughly believe in this. Spending more time in bright daylight could help people fall asleep earlier and get deeper sleep at night, according to a new research. The study led by researchers at the University of Manchester found that adults with brighter and more consistent daytime light exposure tended to fall asleep earlier, wake up earlier, and experience a more deep sleep during the first part of the night. The findings published in the Journal of Biological Timing and Sleep, didn't even know there was a journal for that, were based on more than 500 days of data collection from 89 adults who wore light sensors and sleep trackers while keeping daily sleep diaries. Participants who spent more time in brighter daylight generally fell asleep and woke up earlier than those with less light exposure. Those with more consistent daytime light exposure also experienced healthier sleep timing and more deep sleep early in the night, according to the study. I know there's been study done in places like Alaska where there's either all daylight or not a lot of daylight. It does affect their sleep and their psychological well-being tremendously. You know, our body cycle for a reason. Jennifer Martin, a PhD clinical psychologist and professor at Florida International University, said the findings align with what sleep experts already knew about how light affects the body's internal clock. Light impacts human sleep through a specific pathway starting in the eye. When light hits a specific cell in the retina, it communicates with the brain that it's daytime, meaning we should be alert and active. Morning light is especially beneficial because it helps keep the body's sleep-wake cycle consistent. She recommends spending time outdoors early in the day when possible. Exposure to sunlight early in the day is also really good for healthy sleep. Regular morning light helps people feel sleepy around the same time each evening and build strong sleep routine. This is something I've actually focused on and worked on, to where we're in bed by 9:30. We're asleep, lights out at 10. That's it, everything off. But we're up at 5. This morning I was up at 4:30. My wife didn't like that because she was able to sleep till 5:30 today. Sometimes she's got to be at work at 5:30. So at the gym, people like those early workouts. But there's a reason why people like watching the sunrise. They have their coffee, watching the twilight come and the dawn come upon us. It gives you a fresh start of the day. It is a psychological boost. I had an old coworker that had a light that mimicked, it's a special kind of light. I forget the name of it, but it mimics the daylight. And they used to have it in the wintertime. And he had to have it on because it made him more balanced. And it worked for him, so much so that I actually looked into the lights until they were $100-something, and I wasn't buying that for what looked to me like a fluorescent light. But it's some sort of daylight light that has some sort of impact on your well-being. So I like these studies. I think sleep's extremely important. Going to bed early, waking up early. I like watching the sunrise in the morning. Just like I said, I sit in my picture window with my cup of coffee and watch the light come, and I enjoy that. It's part of life's mysteries, right? But in bed, you know, we're going to bed earlier and earlier. We wonder sometimes, is it just because we're getting old, or we get between 7 and 8 hours sleep a night. That's it. We don't oversleep. But I felt a whole lot better getting proper sleep. I obviously have my sleep tracked by my watch, and I have sleep apnea, so I have my CPAP machine on each night, which helps tremendously. and a big difference from waking up 100 times, 200 times a night because I stopped breathing for up to 20 seconds. Or at least that's what the the experts say, or my report says. So make sure you get your sleep. Make sure you get plenty of daylight outside. Morning hours are best. So if you could go out on your front porch, your back porch, sit outside, let the sunrise hit you, watch it, it's all good. One of the things I enjoyed about when I was hunting a lot, those sunrises, waiting for getting out there in the dark and just sitting there quietly and then slowly watching the day come. It's a great time. It's 5:55 here. Let me tell you about our friends over at Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. Listen, a family-run business, Monk Heating and Air Conditioning, is a family-run business serving all of Northeast Pennsylvania since 1917. 1917. Come on. You can't. That's over a century of servicing this area's heating and air conditioning needs. That Mitsubishi Electric heat pump system, those new split-air ductless systems, this is the Swiss Army knife of heating and air conditioning. That's what I like to call it. That's really the only explanation I have. It does everything. It does heating. It does air conditioning, dehumidification, a fan. It's quiet as could be. You don't even know it's on. My brother literally didn't even see it on the wall because he didn't hear anything. He's like, hey, it's great in here. Where's this air conditioning? Pointed at the wall. There it was. He goes, wow. Didn't even hear it, know it was there. These Mitsubishi Electric heat pump systems are the gold standard of these split-air ductless systems. Our friends over at Monk are Mitsubishi Diamond Elite contractors, which means you're confident, and I'm confident as well, that it is installed right to the manufacturer's specifications. But they do it all over there. They do central systems. They do the on-demand water heaters, regular water heaters. You need it. They can do it. Heating and air conditioning experts servicing all of Northeast Pennsylvania. You can check them out at monkhvac.com. That's monkhvac.com. Or give them a call at 570-333-COOL. And if you're a first responder or a veteran, you get a nice discount on any new installation. So make sure you tell them about that. Again, monkhvac.com or 570-333-COOL for any and all of your heating and air conditioning needs.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.